Hi, I'm Don Genova, and you're listening to a podcast produced in Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada, called All You Can Eat. This week on All You Can Eat, I feature two more interviews on barbecuing. As you can tell, I'm ready to barbecue or grill at the drop of a briquette, and I'm always looking for tips and techniques. This past weekend, I had the great fortune to be invited to a barbecue where I didn't have to do much of the work. My friend Bill Jones of Magnetic North Cuisine was roasting a whole lamb over a charcoal fire with a neat motorized spit he developed for just such an occasion. It's the same one I used last year when I roasted a whole pig. I'm pleased to report that the lamb and the rest of the meal were delicious, and I won't go into any more details because I think it might be dangerous if you haven't had anything to eat for a while. Two women who know a lot about barbecuing and grilling are the Barbecue Queens. I met them at a culinary convention in Seattle earlier this year. You name it, they can grill it. Gas, charcoal, rotisserie, planking, skewering, smoking, they know all about it. And between them have authored about a dozen books on the subject, so I was looking forward to meeting them.
Hi, Don. I'm one of the Barbecue Queens. I'm Karen Adler.
And Don, I'm Judith Fertig, the other evil twin of the Barbecue Queen.
No, there's no way you can be evil when it comes to barbecue. Take me back to how your interest in barbecue first got underway.
Well, I'm Kansas City born and raised, and Kansas City is a barbecue capital in the United States, of course. And we have great barbecued ribs and wonderful barbecued brisket. We're sort of the melting pot of barbecue. And along the way, as I was growing up in Kansas City, I met this transplant from Ohio that boiled her ribs.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I didn't realize I was engaging in heresy, but until I moved to Kansas City.
And we met because we had competing restaurant recipe cookbooks prepared to hate each other. And
instead, you know how you meet someone and you just click, and we just clicked, and from one thing after another, we've been doing projects together, and now the Barbecue Queen series books.
Okay, I want you to give a message to my wife, because she will not even go out there and start the barbecue. Okay? What is it? Why did men take this over, and how do women kind of get in there?
I think there's a little bit of a fear of fire or fear of flame that is inherent with women, but men, you know, usually if there's a pyromaniac around, it's usually a man. It's usually not a woman. Yeah. So the guys love, you know, starting the fire, and I think that there are probably more guys that do charcoal or hardwood lump charcoal, and probably the women are finding that the ease of just flipping a switch for a gas grill is easier, and we say do whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Sometimes, though, that's the only cooking a man does around the house, and so if that's the only cooking that you do, then you're doomed. But I think one thing we're seeing more women grilling, and guys who watch all the Food Network specials, they're inside spinning sugar and making cheesecake and all this, and the women are outside, you know, incinerating, you know, one thing or another, or planking or rotisserie. So it's a fun thing that's happening.
Yeah. Well, and in our new book, Weeknight Grilling with the Barbecue Queens, we say grill once, eat twice. So get out there and grill more veggies and grill more chicken or more steak or shrimp or fish, whatever it is you're grilling, so that you have a ready-made meal the next night that's just easy to put together.
Okay. And, of course, the book is not just for women, is it?
Oh, definitely not. You know, you know, I think everybody inside is, you know, has a grill god or goddess just waiting to be reborn. So,
and we say if your guy is the one that wants to go out to the grill, that's great. But get him to grill more. So instead of that perfect steak that might be his specialty, grill a romaine Caesar salad at the same time, or grill asparagus. You know, whatever's in season. We have a wonderful grilled chopped vegetable salad that even if you're a meat and potatoes type person, this salad is so good we can switch you to vegetarian. You won't go. Kicking and screaming. You'll love it.
Yeah.
Well, I wanted to know what's, pardon the pun, hot in the world of barbecue for this year.
Uh, What's hot is grilling flavor paste. You know, we've always had a dry rub that you put on. You know, you put olive oil on first and then salt and pepper. That's an easy rub or more of a combination of herbs and spices. Then we've had the marinade, which, of course, is all liquid. But a grilling paste is somewhere in between, and that's a flavoring paste that you just sort of brush on the food you're going to grill, and then that serves as your marinade and as, you know, as the, kind of the finishing sauce. So it's a fun thing.
And I would add that a lot more people are learning how to smoke on their barbecue grills, too, and that it's not just meats that taste good smoked. Smoked vegetables are fabulous, and today we actually have a sample of the smoked tomato basil butter, and it is divine.
Bring it on.
Let's, yeah.
Give me a taste of that.
All right, there you go, Don. We could see Don salivating.
Do we have to worry about carcinogens coming from the barbecue smoke?
Well, you know, if you grilled every single meal for, 365 days a year, and that's kind of the equivalent of what the laboratory rats would be getting under a study, then I think you have to worry. But, you know, just we say, you know, everything in moderation, including grilling.
This is good.
Yeah, thank you.
I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we used corn cob for the smoke flavor in that. Mm. I don't know if you can taste a little bit of the sweetness with that.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm, yeah.
I'll vote for that one.
Okay, good. Mm.
It's a competitive world, this barbecue thing. Now, do you actually enter the barbecue competitions that are out there?
We have. For years, we've done the Battle of the Sexes barbecue contest for charity, and the women's team has beat the men's team more years than not. But we're our thing is different. We have done, you know, some competition barbecue. There are women on our barbecue team in Kansas City that have won, like Jack Daniels and the American Royal. But our thing is, you know, more cookbooks and teaching, you know, grilling classes around the country and that type of thing.
Yeah, we teach people how to grill and smoke, and there's so many different ways that you can get wonderful smoke flavor, whether you're using a traditional barbecue grill outside. And we were doubting Thomas's when we first tried the indoor stovetop smoker, but it gives a wonderful smoke flavor. So it's like, let your taste buds be your guide. And we don't really poo-poo anything until we, you know, give it a try and see how good. And actually, the smoked tomato basil butter, that was corn cob smoked in a stovetop smoker.
I've never heard of a stovetop smoker before.
Yeah, you can smoke goat cheese, which is fabulous. You know, to do a smoked goat cheese salad is wonderful. So we like to experiment with smoke as a flavor, too. So that's, I think that's another trend. And we've been seeing more of that smoked salt and smoked paprika. And
I love our smoked garlic cilantro cream sauce.
Yeah, that's wonderful, too.
Smoked garlic.
Yeah, you can smoke vegetables for beurre blanc, you know, or any kind of a sauce. Really adds kind of that flavor of the hearth that I think, inborn in all of us. You know, it's from caveman days.
And we like the fun things, too. We like cooking underneath the brick, which is one of those wowy kind of fun things. Also, we like cooking on planks, too, and getting the wood flavor from the planks. And I love cedar planks because food's not on the plank that long and maybe 30 minutes, so I want a stronger wood that'll help, you know, permeate that wood flavor quicker, and cedar is great.
How did you learn about all this stuff?
Trial and error.
Experiment. We experiment a lot. So.
And we've been around a lot of barbecue competitors, too, so watching what other cooks are doing as well.
I've been to Kansas City once, and what struck me when I arrived downtown is that the whole place just smelled like barbecue.
Yeah, it does, you know, and especially if you go to a Chiefs game, you know, or a Royals game, you know, a lot of people tailgate. You can, you know, the TV people always comment on that. You know, if Monday Night Football's in Kansas City, you always hear about that, and it's true.
It is, and we have, at any given time, like 80 or 90 barbecue restaurants around town, but people always ask us what's our favorite barbecue, and most Kansas Cityans that know how to smoke and grill always say their own backyard.
Right. Okay, well, I'm going to try some of this stuff in my own backyard.
Oh, great, Don.
Okay,
good.
Thanks very much.
All right, thanks, Don.
Those were the barbecue queens, Karen Adler and Judith Fertig. You'll find a link to their website on my website, dongenova.com. That's G-E-N-O-V-A. Just click on the barbecue pit when you get there. You're listening to All You Can Eat. I'm Don Genova. Coming up next, some advice on the gadgets you might want to have within easy reach of your barbecue this summer.
Well, I'm here at the Mingwo Cookware Shop on East Pender Street. It's a busy morning. This shop hasn't even opened yet, and there are things wandering through here because it's barbecue season, and Fontaine Wong, our genteel proprietor, has some wonderful things. Let's start with the grill, things that you can really use outside for barbecue entertaining. And timing is of the essence. So let's look at this timer you have here.
Okay, this morning we have a remote barbecue thermometer. You know how they have saying you can't be in two places at once? Well, this almost makes it possible. And what this thermometer does is that it has a remote sensor and it has a main unit. Now, both of these, you can place one inside your home while you're working in the kitchen. You can have your barbecue going. And what you do on the main unit is that you have what you call a target temperature of what you want your food cooked at. And then you have the actual temperature of the food being cooked. And you can program it for your target temperature. And when you get to that temperature, it'll beep. So you can run out and you can take your meals taken care of. And so you can actually be in two places at one time.
And is this the little portable one you can clip on your belt and carry around with you? Or is that one, that's the one that stays at the barbecue?
This stays at the barbecue, and it has the insertion probe with it. So you put the probe into the food that you're cooking, and that's how it's monitored.
So that's great for something that takes a longer time to cook, like a chicken or a roast, something like that, so that you can just leave it and leave the lid down because, you know, if you're looking, you ain't cooking.
That's right. And what most of us do is that we flip that lid up every 2 minutes and it releases a lot of heat. So you're actually making the cooking process a lot longer. So this actually helps you along the way.
Okay. And that's on sale for $40?
Yeah, that's a very good price.
Now, this thing you showed me yesterday, I really like the Queasy Pro Baster. And this is kind of like the next generation of basters, I think.
Well, yes, we've got here, this. What makes this baster so different from other basters is that it has two heads. And if you look at this end of this head, what does this resemble?
It looks like a shower head.
That's exactly what it is. It is a shower head, and it's got a multitude of holes, but it's, you know, evenly spaced. So when you put your marinade on, you can gently squeeze it out and it'll flow even and gently all over your food. And quite often when we use basters, there's only one large hole and the oil or whatever you're squeezing just splurts all over. But like with this shower head, you can just gauge how much you need. And what's good is that it's made out of polycarbonate. It's clear. And has measurements on the side, and you can tell exactly how much marinade you've got left. If you've covered half the chicken with 3/4 of marinade, you know you've eaten too much.
Now, the other head, I think, is even more ingenious.
The other head is what you call an injector head. It's pierced. It's a very sharp needle point, and this is what you call a screw-on nozzle, and it's stainless steel, and it gives you a fair length so you can, when you actually have to inject into your chicken or meat, you really get into the points of the area of the meat that you want to. And with the needle point, you just pierce it into your food and squeeze, and you're marinated. Like, you want to add more butter, like we all need more butter in our food, right?
So that's very clever. I like that.
Yes, and this is very, very, very useful, and like I say, it's good. It's stainless steel. And the polycarbonate, they're all dishwasher proof.
Excellent. $13.99. That's a deal for that one, I think. Another thing you've got there is the chicken on a beer can rack, which makes things a lot easier.
Well, now you can, rather than just drink beer straight from the can, you can let it evaporate into the chicken. And what it is this is what you call a vertical roaster. You place your can of beer in the... they've got a space for the can to go in, and you should only fill your only have half a can of beer. So,
what do you do with the other half?
Well, if you have, that's where you make friends. That's where you make a lot of friends, and you place your chicken, obviously, with the butt end over the vertical roaster, and you should always season your chicken prior to this. And then with the beer will evaporate. And what it is it produces a much more moist roasted chicken or barbecue chicken.
Yeah, and that works in the oven or on the grill.
Yeah, it's an indoor and outdoor vertical roaster.
Okay, I like that. I also have, which you have to get in the store here, a chicken wing rack. which is really handy. You get whole chicken wings, and you can hang, I guess, 5 or 6 on each side, and it sits up above the grill, and you don't have to worry about your chicken wings getting burnt or scorched or anything because they're more away from the heat and all the fat drips off, and you love it. So that's my recommendation to you, get in those chicken wing racks.
That's great because I always have a hard time flipping all the chicken wings simultaneously.
Yeah, this one you don't have to flip them, and you can use this handy baster to just baste them as you go along. Okay, and what else have we got that you use on the grill? Tongs. Tongs, very important.
Okay. Tongs are important, especially when you can get tongs with a silicone end. And when you're doing things like fish, you know, you don't want to be using metal tongs where you're grasping too hard, like because it's much more delicate food. And these silicone tongs, which are heat resistant up to like over 400 degrees, they will not pierce your food. And, you know, there's just a much more gentler way of handling your food. So, and what you do is, but you make sure you don't leave the tongs on the grill.
Right. Right.
Or you'll have melted silicone tongs.
No, we don't want that. Okay, that's good for that. And does that have a little pull thing at the end to keep them together? Yeah, I like
that. Yes, they have the auto locks, and you know how you have, it's a space-saving device.
Right, okay. An important thing that you use quite often on the barbecue is a skewer for shish kebabs and things like that. Even for grilling vegetables, it's good to hold onions together, for example. There are different kinds of skewers, and what do you think are the best kind?
Well, this is where we think that the flat, and we know that the flat skewers work a lot better because when you're piercing your food, the food will not rotate when you're turning it. When you use a round skewer, quite often a lot of people experience turning over the food, and the food just stays in its place. And that, you know, and then you're going to get uneven grilling. So when you buy a skewer, try to pick one that's flat-sided, and then they'll keep the food more stable, and you'll do one flip instead of 360-degree flips.
And this flat one that you've got is, what, 80 or 60 cents. It's a lot, you know, yeah, the bamboo ones you can throw out, but the bamboo ones are round, and they burn even when you soak them. So that's a good investment for 60 cents each.
Well, definitely, because you don't have to worry about pre-soaking them. They'll be ready. And what it is that they're reusable, and they won't break and bend when you're actually trying to take the food off, and they don't turn into projectiles because you've flipped half the bamboo skewer away.
Now, for those who are steak grilling challenged, they never know how to get it right, rare, medium, medium rare. What have you got there?
Well, what we've got here is stainless steel steak probes or meat probes. And what you do is they're individual steak temperature probes. You place them into steaks, and you know everybody wants their steak done the way they like it. So you can just have each one of your guests monitor their own steaks. And nobody will get the blame if their steak is underdone, overdone. That way they get the readout on it. They get exactly what they want.
Now, I guess you would put those in once you've done your first flip, because you should really only flip a steak once.
Yes, I would assume that you would, well, you would assume that you would flip it, cook it on one side, then turn it over and put it onto the cook's side to get the final side done.
You got it. Okay. So let's move a little bit now to kind of entertaining accessories. And first of all, if you're out for a picnic, there's this beautiful little knife that I like.
This is what you call a picnic knife, a true picnic knife. Most of us go on picnics or we'll go outdoors, and you don't really want to have a knife in a basket where you're reaching your hand and it's totally uncovered. So this knife comes with its own sheath. It's called Lock and Sheath, and it's by Messermeister, and it's $7.50, and you can hear the lock. And it keeps it secure, and the knife is actually a very sharp and good, nice little utility knife.
Yeah, because Messermeister, that's a good name.
Yes, they make very good knives.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and for drinks?
Well, how often have you gone to a party, a lawn party, picnic, barbecue, at the beach? You've got a plate of food in your hand, you've got a drink. Where do you put the drink? Between your knees? Only maybe near the end of the evening. Well, this is a very simple gadget. It's just a long skewered acrylic stick with a little holder. And what you do is you take the pointed end, you stab it into the grass or into the sand, and you place your stem glass onto it, and you're hands-free, and you can use both hands to eat and to brace yourself.
Very elegant situation, I think.
Yeah, this works great.
Okay. What else have we got? Is that it? We've covered a lot of ground, actually. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Excellent. Thank you very much.
Well, you're more than welcome. Enjoy
your
summer.
Happy barbecuing. I will.
Yeah.
That was Fontaine Wong of Mingwo Cookware, deep in the heart of Vancouver's Chinatown. By now, you're probably wondering about the gear I use to barbecue. My collection is up to 3 grills right now. I know, it's not that many compared to other guys I know who have like 50 in their backyard. My workhorse is my Napoleon. It's the best grill I've ever owned. It's made in Canada, and my favorite feature is the infrared rotisserie burner. Many a chicken and pork roast have sizzled to perfection on this grill. Now, what makes it so good? Well, it's got a high-quality tubular steel burner, heavy-duty sear plates, and a stainless steel cooking grid. It's quite expensive, but you know what? It's worth it. Those major components that are the high quality, the burner, the grid, the sear plates, I've never had to replace them. Never had any problems. Had it for about 5 years now. My latest acquisition is called the Traeger Liltex, or Liltex. This thing is a pellet grill. An electric auger moves pellets into a smoke chamber, and a fan distributes the smoke throughout at an even heat. You can use it on high to grill steaks, use it on medium to make the perfect beer can chicken, and most importantly, set it on smoke and use it to slow smoke cuts of meat that benefit from that kind of treatment. I've used it to smoke duck, pork ribs, salmon, trout, and whole pork butts. The other barbecue I've had a lot of fun with is the Cobb portable barbecue. This little thing is amazing. It was invented in South Africa. It's called a cob because it was originally fueled by dried corn cobs. All it takes is maybe half a dozen briquettes, and you can cook on it for a couple of hours. It's excellent for chicken breasts and veggies, has a nonstick grill, and it comes with its own carry bag. So if you're going to the beach or doing a picnic, this thing's great. You don't have to worry about carrying a lot of fuel with you, just a few briquettes, and you're ready to go. If you want to know more about these barbecues, visit my website at dongenova.com and click on the barbecue pit, where you can read all about my summer adventures in grilling and barbecuing and find links to a lot of the equipment I've mentioned, some recipes, photos, and a lot more. That's all you can eat for this week, and I'll leave you with this thought from American cooking legend James Beard. Grilling, broiling, barbecuing, whatever you want to call it, is an art, not just a matter of building a pyre and throwing on a piece of meat as a sacrifice to the gods of the stomach. I'm Don Genova. Bye for now.